This is Social Media Simplified, a podcast that takes the guesswork out of using social media to build your audience and increase your exposure on the web. Join us as a social media scholar for exclusive tips, tactics, and strategies to create content, market your brand, and much more. Let's do this. Hey, all you social media scholars. This is Social Media Simplified. I'm Nathan Garrett, your digital dynamo.
And as always, I'm Lante Tacona, your collaboration connoisseur.
And today we're going to be talking about how to structure your day for productivity. So this is episode number 4. Pretty interesting topic, wouldn't you say?
Absolutely. And so I guess I have a question for you. So myself, I have more of a 9-to-5-er schedule, right?
Yeah, yeah.
9 o'clock, you know, I'm in the office working, about 5 o'clock per se, I leave. But you have a little bit of a different work schedule. You don't necessarily have that structure in it. So I'm curious to know, how do you structure your day? For me, 9 o'clock it starts. I look at my calendar. I go till it's done.
Yeah.
How about you?
Yeah, so being self-employed now for about 6 years, to structure my day for productivity, it can be quite challenging because I have to motivate myself. And so over the years, I've come up with a few different tools that I use to really maximize my productivity in the day. So one of the first tips I can really give is to make sure that you plan your day out the night before.
Okay. So how exactly does that work? Because I mean, before I go to sleep, you know, I know what I'm going to do tomorrow.
Yeah, you
but
know.
How much more planning do you need?
Yeah, so for what I do personally, so again, this is for more people that are small business owners, self-employed, that kind of thing. But for what I do, I like to write a little list on a notepad. And this notepad is ongoing. So I'll have a list of different tasks that I put on there. And usually I prioritize them by how important they are.
So, all right, having a task list per se, but what about like, how do you block out? So, example, I'm going back to my calendar. I know from 11 to 12, I have a meeting.
Yeah.
From 12 to this time, I have a gap, so maybe I can do some work.
Mm-hmm,
yeah. Do you schedule yourself out by times, or how do you do that?
Yeah, I mean, my system is super simple. When I've tried to, like, download, like, really, I don't know, highly functional apps, things that will automate tasks for you, that kind of thing, I tend to get too caught up in the functionality of the app and less about actually doing the work. So I've really simplified it where I just open up a basic notepad and I'll put a list of things I need to do that day. And if sometimes I need to do them by a certain time, I'll put a time next to it or I'll put it in priority. It's like, this is number one, this is number two, this is number three.
What would be examples? Like what would your day, like, I don't know, last Wednesday look like?
Well, that would be tough to know. Last Wednesday is a long time ago in my life.
Today, how would you structure it out?
I had some examples. What I had to do today is I had to work on a few things for my other business, for my accounting website. I create these videos, and so I have to be in contact with my developer about the ongoing maintenance of the site. And so that's another little trick within that list is I always put at the top the easiest tasks. Stuff that's like really easy to mark down. The reason why I do that is that it can give you momentum when you start your day. If you can finish something that's really super easy and cross it off, it'll give you that boost you need to accomplish the next task.
No, I can say that. So in addition to, you know, my work calendar per se, I do actually write down a task list of things that I need to work on or accomplish. It's not the night before, but it's definitely the day before. For example, yesterday was Monday and I had, you know, let's say 9 items on my task list to accomplish. I just wrote them down when I got into the office. These are things I need to do today. I would go through my list and as I check things off, if the day ended before I finished certain tasks, I would then roll those tasks over to the next page. I'd write that in my notebook before I leave work.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next morning when I come in today, for example, I would also write down the things I need to do today, but I make sure I captured those things on there. With regards to prioritization, I'm similar to you. So I definitely look at things that will take the least amount of time, but not because of the momentum piece. I know myself a little bit. I know myself a little bit better than I used to know myself, let's say it that way. So I know that if there's a task that takes a long period of time, more so something that requires my attention for a long time. A long time could be 10 minutes without interruptions, yeah. Right? Those are things I would save for later in the day. Times when I know I might have a lot of like time to get something done. It might be short, but I have to focus for a solid 10 minutes. That's something I'd push to the end of the list. Things that I can just knock off easily, like, oh, check this calendar, maybe send a quick email. Those are the things I knock out first, especially if they involve other people. And then from there, I go to the longer.
It's kind of similar. Yeah. I mean, for myself, for motivational purposes, I don't have a boss telling me what to do. So I do keep those easy tasks as the first thing. Mm-hmm. I think that can apply to employees as well. It's like if you can't get yourself going in the day, I know, like, psychologically speaking, when you can accomplish things, you get a small dopamine boost in your brain. And so I learned that over time. It's like a little hack I created for myself is that I know to get myself going, I put the big tasks later mm-hmm. and the easy ones up front because I know I can cross that off my list and immediately I feel a little better, a little more motivated. It's a little hack effect. I came up with a while back.
The more checks you see, the better you feel accomplished.
When I started, man, I didn't know this stuff. And yeah. I had to kind of practice it and figure out what worked and what didn't work for me. And there was plenty of days where it was just Netflix and just take
just
out.
Staring at
I'm
the
like,
wall.
It's a Tuesday afternoon. I should probably be doing something, you know?
I hear that. So going along in that same vein about hacks that get the dopamine going, what do you do in the mornings? For me, I'm a coffee guy. I'm a caffeine guy.
Caffeine guy. Yeah. So I read about this not too long ago, and I started implementing it into my morning routine. My morning routine is very important to me because it starts my day off right. And there's a few things I do. I won't get into all of it, but a really important thing I do when I wake up is I drink 16 ounces of water as soon as I wake up. Yeah. I've read about that. It really can get your brain charged for the day. Mm-hmm. And it kind of makes sense. You've been sleeping for 8+ hours. You're really dehydrated. Mm-hmm. A lot of people, when they wake up, they don't drink water until later. Mm-hmm. But if you drink it right away, it can get you flowing.
It just gets you
ready for the day better.
Yeah, yeah. For me, I need to consider that, you know, waking my body up in general. But, you know, usually caffeine is that shock for me. And I do have a routine. I don't have it first thing when I wake up. I actually, I drive, and so I don't have it till about, let's say, 45 minutes into my morning after I've left the house.
Oh,
I pick
really?
Up my coffee.
Oh, you pick it up. You don't make it.
Start.
You don't make it here?
Nope, not in the mornings. Now, usually I pick it up. Yeah, so during the days, you know, maybe I'll make it up at home.
Yeah,
yeah. So that's pretty interesting. Another thing for me is, this is interesting because I get different takes from people, is I shower in the morning. Now, showering wakes me up. And it kind of gets my my blood flowing. I was actually reading a book by Tim Ferriss. Mm. What's it called? Titans, Tools for Titans. And in his, he described a few, he interviews celebrities about their morning routines. And one thing that was common was that people like Arnold Schwarzenegger, they take morning showers. And it gets to the point after they're done washing and everything that, you know, for 5 minutes or for 3 minutes, they'll turn the water on completely ice cold. And they'll turn it right back up to hot, then back to cold, then back, and kind of play with it like that. So kind of
that's funny.
I
we
guess,
actually
jolts their body.
This,
yeah,
but
yeah.
I actually practiced that for a very long time.
Did you?
Not for 3 minutes though. For full cold showers. And it's true. It's true. Yeah, actually, we haven't talked about this yet. I used to do that a lot. I don't do it anymore because I moved to Chicago last summer, and I'm not doing that.
I've seen a couple.
But when I was in Texas, it was hot all the time, so I would get in there, and yes, it will release endorphins. You'll feel more energized when you're done. It's good for brain activity as well. There's a lot of benefits of cold showers for sure, but I can't say I practice what I preach anymore. I just don't do them anymore. It's challenging.
But it works.
It works. You feel amazing.
Amazing. Yeah. I can hear that. So let's think about this, right? We've talked about how to hack your mornings with, in my case, it was caffeine. You had water and then showers and things like that. Mm-hmm, and then how to kind of get your day structured with coming up with task lists and prioritizing them based on
that's
how you
right.
know yourself. Mm-hmm. You know, you can have the snowball effect, ease your tasks first. But for me, for example, I do a lot of LinkedIn and digital marketing. I do a lot of that. And it's something that I really enjoy doing. And I find myself sometimes it just in the zone, in flow. And, you know, I could work for 2 hours, 3 hours, 4 hours consistently, you know, without any drink or anything,
really?
just going at it. So how do you, or do you structure your day for breaks, or how do you kind of?
You mentioned 4 hours.
Relax that in. I could.
What's do you feel like your level of productivity is the same from minute zero to minute 240?
I definitely could. Yeah. Okay. I would say like there's definitely a decline in it. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. But I would switch tasks to more easier ones. For example, if I'm writing a blog post, I want to start with that because it's going to take me longer. Now this is where my priorities shift. Mm-hmm. A blog post might take me longer, and as I begin to slow down a little bit, I might switch over to something like design. Maybe like doing a cover or an image, something that I don't know. I can do more creatively, yeah. But I don't really have to think too hard about it.
Hmm. Yeah, what I've learned for myself, that's a good point, but what I've learned for myself is that I don't work well if I'm just going for hours on end, especially if I'm looking at a computer screen or a phone screen for that long. It's just really not good for you to be doing that. And what I've been doing for myself is I set up 25-minute timers where if I have that timer going, then I know I have to work
you
on a task.
Set a clock.
I set it. I am a big proponent of timers to optimize your productivity. Hmm. And I can go on. This could be a whole other episode on timers. Trust me. I've been using them for life hacks, productivity hacks. They help because you know that you're bound by this time and you have no other option except to do whatever task that was. When the timer goes off, though, give yourself a 10-minute break. Okay. It's like a little reward. And for me, again, I'm still working on implementing this every day, but when I do it, man, I'm so much more productive because I give myself little breaks, and it's something to look forward to.
Fantastic. So let's just recap that. So first of all, what we were saying is that, well, at least you were saying that you structure your day the night before by writing down your list of things to do. That's similar to me where I use my calendar, which is predetermined, but I also do write a task list to keep up with my day. When I start off in the morning, I'm a coffee guy. You're a water guy. We did talk about the psychological benefits of that as well.
I still drink coffee, though.
But I got to start with water. Yeah. I like that. I'm definitely going to start off or try to start off with water more. We talked about some showers, cold showers. And then breaks. Breaks being important to block off your time, to give yourself enough time to rest, recoup, and then recharge before you start back at it again.
Yeah.
Timers is an interesting way to do that or tool to use. So how do you end your day? So what is your sleep schedule like? Mm. What do you do?
Mm. Sleep schedule. So actually this is something I implemented very recently actually that I'm still trying to establish it as a habit. I like to watch Netflix before I go to bed, and sometimes I find myself browsing on my phone really late right before I go to sleep. And so recently I started doing this is where I go to sleep around midnight. As soon as 11 o'clock hits, can't use my phone anymore.
You just have a rule.
It's a hard, fast rule because you can just, the phone is amazing. Like the smartphone, you can find, it's instant information all the time.
Yeah.
You can just be browsing for hours. You don't even realize
yeah.
it. And I could catch myself doing that. I'm browsing and just looking at nothing for the longest time. And then I'm going to sleep right after. I'd rather unwind in a mm-hmm. healthier way than having looking at this screen. And I know for a fact that iPhone screen or whatever phone you have emits this blue light
yeah.
that can inhibit the production of melatonin in
yep.
your brain, and that helps you fall asleep.
Yep.
If it inhibits it, right, you're going to have a harder time going to sleep. So recently I said hard, fast rule, 11 o'clock, nothing. Like you can sit there and like think, you can read a book, but no devices.
Nice. That's really interesting. Sleep is a really interesting topic for me. I sleep when I'm tired. Let's say it that way. I'm the kind of person that sleeps when I'm tired. I never have problems falling asleep.
Mm.
Waking up is my problem. And a lot of times I think, my 9 to 5, sure, but it's more like a 9 to 6, could be 6:30, could be later when I start doing marketing things, it could go later. So what I've realized is that I'm more productive after I've slept when my brain is freshest. And so what I do, interesting enough, is I'll do my normal schedule, 9 to 5, let's say, come home, and I'll pass out at like 6:30, 7 p.m.
P.m.
I'll be so tired and I'll just fall asleep. I'll fall asleep. But the thing is I wake up at about 2 to 3 a.m. After about 5 or 6 hours, my natural clock wakes up and I'll
natural
wake up.
Natural clock.
I just wake up. Now, sometimes I could wake up, go get a glass of water, go back to bed. But a lot of times I wake up and I'm already standing up, I'm awake. That's the time where I might take another 2 or 3 hours to do a little bit more work, a little bit more marketing, a little bit more design. And then I might take an hour nap before it's time to go in the morning. So I'll sleep at 7, get up at like 3 o'clock is good for me, I know that. 3 o'clock or 2 o'clock. And then from there, I'll probably work till, let's say, 3:30 or 4, depending on what time I woke up, 4:30. Maybe take a nap, or sometimes I'll just get in the shower and, you know, get dressed and go to work.
Start your day.
Yeah.
My gosh, what a sleep schedule.
But the thing is, the key with that is when we're talking about the topic of sleep, it's understanding your circadian rhythm. Right. For me, it's like a sine wave, up and down, up and down. That's what your circadian rhythm looks like. Mm-hmm. And waking up on certain peaks is where your body is ready to wake up. If you go past that peak, then it's a lot harder. You wake up kind of groggy. Mm-hmm. So the reason why people say, you know, you should have 10-minute power naps, or you should sleep for 8 hours. These are peaks in the circadian rhythm, but you can also have an in-between ground. 3 hours is another peak. 6 to 5 hours is another peak. So for me, I operate on about the 5-hour peak. Mm. Go to sleep at, like, I could sleep at 7, wake up at 12. As long as I hit my peak, then I can wake up. So
that's interesting. I don't know too much about the circadian rhythm. I did read once about 90-minute intervals is good, but I think it sounds like it depends on your particular rhythm.
It depends on your particular rhythm. It has to do a lot with the melatonin portion of that. If you're looking at a blue screen right before it, it has to do with if you worked out 2 hours before you sleep, your body temperature is higher. It has to lower before you pass out. Eating things like cranberries and grapefruits speed up that process. And also slowing down that process is eating heavier meals in the evening. Like, you know, if you're working out, chicken breasts or something like that. When you're talking about sleep, that's not what you want to be eating. Hmm. Not at all. So you want to eat a lot earlier. You want to finish your workout earlier. You want to not do your blue screens, and then from there you go into your circadian rhythm properly. Reason why I'm saying all this is actually I published a book in 2014 called Incredible Sleep, 9 Incredible Sleep Hacks for Insomniacs, and did a lot
Love
of research.
The title.
Did a lot of research
Love
about
that. Title.
Yeah. It's available on Amazon. You can
all
check
right.
that out.
All
Incredible
right.
Sleep.
Nice.
But on top of that, I guess another thing is also, these are just bonus tips, like tobacco will, you know, caffeine, that stuff will like disrupt your sleep. But interestingly enough, one topic that I did write about in a bonus chapter was feng shui and meditation.
Mm.
So those two things were actually included as a part of relaxing your mind.
Meditation.
Yeah. What do you think
meditation.
About, what do you think
so,
about meditating?
Meditation is a really interesting concept. I got into it a few years ago. I read this book called The Power of Now. And
who's that by? Do you remember? The Power of Now.
Yeah, I'll think of it. I know his name. He's a German guy, I believe.
Okay.
I'll come up with it. But I had an ex-girlfriend that showed me his book called The Power of Now. And when I first read it, the concept was too abstract about just staying present. It didn't really make sense to me. And then a year or two later, I started meditating on a regular basis. What I do is mindfulness meditation, where I literally just sit in a spot. It could be on a couch or a bed. And I just focus on a point on the wall. And it sounds pretty crazy as I'm saying it right now, but
let me stop you right there. So focusing on a point on the wall. So talk to me a little bit about that. Are you... you like sitting on the floor? Are you, you know, are you
so
on your bed? Are you on your couch? Are you standing? How does that
work? It's
couch
or bed for me.
Okay.
Is what I usually sit on. It doesn't necessarily matter where you're at. I started doing this because I have a very, 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 very active mind. Very active. And my dad does too. And this has been the only thing I found that has really calmed my mind down, where when I'm talking with someone, I can stay present in the conversation. When I'm walking on the street, I can stay present to where I'm at in that exact moment, and my mind isn't going anywhere.
Interesting.
I mean,
yeah.
In full transparency, I've always had anxiety my entire life. And when I started meditating, I noticed that that's when my anxiety diminished, and I kind of analyzed it a little bit on why. And I realized that the reason I'm having these anxieties is because my body and where I'm at is in one place. but my mind is somewhere else, and that's a cognitive dissonance there. It's in a different, it's a disconnect.
Mm-hmm.
But when I can connect the mind and the body, and they can be in the same spot at the same time, anxieties go away.
That's interesting. That plays a part into, you know, taking breaks and really just allowing your mind to relax.
Yeah,
right? Allowing
your mind to relax. And meditation helps me with that. I practice it every morning, sometimes at night, and it sets the tone for my day usually, and I can be more present throughout my day because of meditation.
That's fantastic. All right. Well, thanks for that. That was an awesome episode.
Great episode.
And I'm really looking forward to the next one. On the next episode, Nathan, what is on the next episode?
All right. So this next episode is going to be on messenger bots. So this is the newest thing right now in digital marketing. And the next episode, we're going to be talking about how to automate your client acquisition with messenger bots and the one thing that will make or break your success.
That's awesome. This is Lante Tacona, the collaboration connoisseur. You can connect with me on LinkedIn at LANTEI.
And as always, Nathan Garrett, your digital dynamo. You can find me at nathangarrett.net.
All right, guys. Thanks for joining. See you next time.